Your involvement stopped the immediate threat, but it also fed the gateway magic and chances greater danger in the future. It was a risk I had to take, because the consequences of not doing so would have been disaster. But if what has happened is not fixed, it will be greater disaster in the end.
What is the veil? Where is it?
She reached out and tapped his forehead. The veil is within those of us with magic. We are its custodians. That is why balance means so much to those with the gift. When the veil is torn, the balance is tipped. The further it tips, the more the veil tears. The Creator rules his domain, the Keeper his. The Keeper needs the Creator to feed him life. The Creator needs the Keeper to allow it to be renewed. The veil keeps the balance. Her face was grim. This view would be considered blasphemy by many. They see the Keeper only as evil that must be destroyed. But to do so would ultimately accomplish the opposite, all life being swept away like a sandbar in a river flood.
Just for the sake of argument, what if I did have both kinds of magic? What is my power for?
Most wizards have a talent that leans in a particular direction. Some are healers. Some make things of magic. More rare are prophets. The most rare are war wizards. There has not been one born in over 3,000 years. Until you.
Richard wiped his sweaty palms on his pant legs. I don't like the sound of that.
War wizard has two meanings which balance each other, as in all things magic. The first meaning is that they can tear the veil, bring destruction and death, war. And the second is that they have the magic needed to fight against the powers of the Keeper. Being a war wizard does not mean you are evil, Richard. Many who fight do so to protect those who are defenseless. It means you have the capacity to care enough to fight, to defend the innocent.
Lest he who is born true can fight for life's bond. And that one is marked, he's the pebble in the pond, Richard quoted. She lifted an eyebrow.
For one who professes to scoff at prophecy, you seem to know some of the more pivotal passages. If I'm not entirely addled, I expect you have been marked.
Richard could feel the scar on his chest as he nodded. Are you saying that my life is already marked out? That I'm just meant to live it out as it has been preordained?
No, Richard. Life is not predetermined. The prophecies mean only that you have potential. You have the ability to influence events. That's why it is so important for you to learn. Of most importance is that you learn to accept yourself. If you do not do this, you will harm the most vital part of yourself, your free will. If you act without understanding, you could cast yourself into the chaos. I let you live when you were born because you have the potential for doing good. Within you is the hope of life. But until you truly accept both sides of your magic, you are a danger to every living thing.
Richard desperately wanted to change the subject. He felt as if the world were crushing him. What is the Stone of Tears? She gave a little shrug.
In the world of the dead, it exists as a force. In this world, it exists as an object with power, representing that force. The Stone of Tears is like a weight that holds the Keeper at the infinite end of his world, where his influence here is diminished to the point of balance.
Then if it's here, off him, he's freed from his prison.
If that were true, we would all be dead, hmm?
She lifted a questioning eyebrow. But Richard didn't say anything.
It's one of the seals that locks the Keeper beyond. There are others that still hold. Magic helps hold him back for now. The Stone of Tears has the power, though, to destroy the balance, to tear the veil and free the Keeper if it is used in this world by such as you in the wrong way. You see, the stone has the power to banish any soul to the infinite depths of the underworld. But if it were used in that way, through hate, through selfishness, it would feed power to that side and destroy the veil. The veil can only be restored by one with the gift for both sides of the magic. The stone must be put back where it belongs. We must struggle to keep the other seals intact until the day when one such as you can restore this lock while there is still time. Meanwhile, the keeper gains strength here. His minions struggle to break the other seals. There are other ways to free the keeper. Anna, are you sure about me? Maybe you proved it just tonight by walking through that shield. Our shields are made of additive magic. The only way for you to penetrate it was for your Han to use subtractive.
Maybe my Han, my additive magic is just stronger.
When you came through the Valley of the Lost, you would have been drawn to the towers. To both towers, am I right?
I could have just come across them by accident.
She let out a tired sigh. The towers were created by wizards who had both kinds of power. In the White Tower there is white sand, sorcerer's sand. I doubt you would have taken any.
That doesn't prove anything. And what is sorcerer's sand?
Sorcerer's sand is extremely valuable, nearly priceless. It is only gathered by chance happenings across the tower. Sorcerer's sand is the crystallized bones of the wizards who gave their life into the towers. It's a sort of distilled magic. It gives power to spells drawn with it, good and evil. The proper spell drawn in white sorcerer's sand can invoke the keeper. You took, instead, some of the black sand, did you not?
Well, yes, I just wanted a little bit, that's all.
She nodded. Just a little bit. Richard, no wizard since the towers were built has been able to gather any black sorcerer's sand. It cannot be taken from a tower by any but those with subtractive magic. Guard that black sand with your life. It's more valuable than you can imagine.
Why? What will it do?
Black sorcerer's sand is the counter to the white. They nullify each other. The black, even one grain of it, will contaminate a spell drawn to invoke the keeper. It will destroy the spell. A spoonful of it is a weapon worth kingdoms.
Still, he said, it could just be that
the last wizards born with both kinds of magic invested the palace of the prophets with their magic. The prophets of that time knew one would be born again with both sides of the magic, a war wizard, and so they created two, the Hagen Woods and the Mriswith. One born with the subtractive would be drawn to that place, drawn to do battle there. The collar keeps the additive gift from killing you. The Hagen Woods provide an outlet for the other side of your power. It is something the sisters cannot provide.
But I use the Sword of Truth.
His voice sounded to him like a plea into a gale.
It was the sword.
The Sword of Truth was also created by wizards with the gift for both sides of the magic. Only one born the same could bring out the full range of its magic. Only you can use the sword to its full potential, and you have not done so yet. It is an aid to you, but even so you do not need it to kill the Mriswith. Your gift is enough. If you do not believe me, leave your sword and go into the Hagen Woods with just your knife. You will still kill the Mriswith.
Others have used this blade. They didn't even have the gift, much less subtractive magic.
They were not truly using the sword's magic. The blade was made for you. It's an aid, much as prophecy is an aid, much as the Mriswith are an aid, sent down through time.
I don't think I could be one of those war wizards.
Do you eat meat?
What does that have to do with anything?
You are a child of balance. Wizards must balance themselves, the things they do, their power. War wizards rarely eat meat. Their abstinence is a balance for the killing they sometimes must do.
I'm sorry, Anne, but I just can't believe I have subtractive magic.
That's why you are such a danger. Every time you encounter magic, your Han learns more about how to protect you, to serve you, but you are not aware that it is learning. The Radahan helps it grow, though you're not aware of the process. You do things without knowing the importance or the reason, like when you were drawn to the black sorcerer's sand and took it, or when you took the round skrin bone from Addy.
Richard's brow pulled together.
You know Addy, too?
Yes. She helped your father and me get through the pass so we could retrieve the Book of Counted Shadows.
What round bone are you talking about?
Richard saw the slightest twitch of alarm in her eyes.
Addy had a round bone.
carved all over with beasts. It's an object of great power. Your subtractive magic would have drawn you to it.
Richard remembered seeing the round bone on a high shelf. I saw such a thing at her house, but I didn't take it. I wouldn't take something that didn't belong to me. Maybe that means I don't really have subtractive magic.
She straightened. No, you noticed it. The fact that you didn't take it means only that since you did not have the Rada Han on yet, your power had not developed enough to draw you to the Skrinbone the way it drew you to the Black Sand.
Richard hesitated. Is this some kind of problem?
She smiled. It looked forced to him. No. Addie would protect that bone with her life. She knows how important it is. You can recover it in the future.
What does it do?
It helps protect the veil. When used by a war wizard like you, with both powers, it invokes the Skrin. The Skrin are a force that helps keep the worlds separated. You might say they are guardians of the boundary between worlds.
What if the wrong person got their hands on it? A person wishing to help the Keeper?
She pulled on his shirt, urging him up. You worry too much, Richard. I have work to do. You must leave me to it now. Do your best, child, and study. Learn to touch your hand to get control of it. You must learn if you are to be of any help to the Creator.
Richard turned back to her. She was staring off.
Anne, why does the Keeper want the world of the living? What will it gain him? What is the purpose?
Her answer came in a soft, distant voice.
Death is the antithesis of life. The Keeper exists to consume the living. His hatred of life has no bounds. His hatred is as eternal as his prison of death.